The rare protests erupting in Chinese cities and universities, sparked by the country's strict ongoing COVID lockdowns, are seeing protesters turn to an unusual symbol of defiance, holding up blank sheets of paper. Why? Because the bits of paper are as much a symbol as it's also a tactic to avoid arrest or running foul of the country's censorship laws. Widespread protests like this one at Beijing's prestigious Tsinghua University have been unprecedented under President Xi Jinping, whose government has all but eliminated public displays of dissent. This woman is shouting, "Stop performing oral sex to public power."
Xi Jinping!
In Shanghai, these people are chanting, "Down with the Chinese Communist Party and Xi Jinping." China's social media platforms are heavily censored, forcing citizens into cat-and-mouse games to get around it. In online chat rooms seen by Reuters, protesters are being advised to bring a sheet of blank paper to a demonstration. But the hashtag white paper exercise has already been blocked on at least one site. In Hong Kong 2 years ago, protesters also used blank paper as a response to the city's ban on certain protest slogans, and the tactic has recently spread to Moscow in protests against the war in Ukraine.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. So as you've just seen, protests have started breaking out all across China. And this is a really serious situation because China and the Chinese authorities are not big fans of protests. If you know what's happened over the course of the last 30 years or so, you'll know that there were some major protests held in Tiananmen Square in 1989, and the Chinese authorities brought tanks in, and those protests didn't end well. So the fact that people are coming out onto the street is a really serious situation. So in today's video, we'll go through exactly why the people of China have started protesting. We'll look at the trilemma that's facing the Chinese authorities right now. And don't worry, I hate jargon. You know that I don't like using terms that nobody understands. I'll give you a full breakdown of what a trilemma is and why it's a really difficult situation for the Chinese authorities, because they're stuck between a rock and a hard place in terms of which way they turn. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to the Chinese economy, because that's really at the heart of the problems for China right now. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to unemployment and COVID, because COVID is one of the big issues that China's trying to deal with right now. And then we'll have a look at what the implications of all of this are for the global economy, because China is the second largest economy in the world. And it's not just the second, it's second by a long way. So the USA is the biggest. In 2021, it delivered GDP of around $23 trillion. China came in at $17.7 trillion. And the next largest economy was Japan at $5 trillion. So China and the USA are so much bigger than all of the other countries of the world. And China is really important because it's the manufacturing heartland for the whole of the world. So we'll go through in a bit more detail what the implications of what's going on in China are for the global economy. We'll have a look at oil prices and the revised forecasts for global GDP. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications of what's happening right now in China are for the Chinese economy and the global economy. Now, this is usually the point where I ask you for a thumbs up and to support the channel. I'm not going to do that today, so let's move on. The root cause of the current protests in China was the city of Urumqi, which has been in lockdown for more than 100 days as a result of COVID-19 restrictions. An apartment building caught fire, and the lockdown restrictions caused problems with regards to evacuating the building, and 10 people died. And as a direct result of this, protests started on the streets of Urumqi because people were furious that the lockdown restrictions had caused these deaths unnecessarily. Now, clearly there is discontent amongst the people of China because this protest quickly spread. And it's been reported that at least 50 university cities have joined in the protests. And we're seeing mass protests of people holding up white pieces of paper. And as mentioned earlier in the video, this is a sign of protest that's being used by the people of China to avoid being arrested. They don't want to write anti-government messages because they can be arrested for that. So by holding up a blank piece of paper, you can't technically be arrested because your piece of paper doesn't actually say anything. There's no anti-government slogan on it, but it's still a sign of protest. And while whilst the official reason for these protests is to bring an end to the COVID lockdowns, there is also mass discontent about what's happening in the Chinese economy. Unemployment is now starting to rise, and the economy is starting to slow down, and there also appears to be growing discontent on the political side of life. Now, dealing with these protests represents a major challenge for the Chinese authorities, because the world is watching, everybody's waiting to see what the response will be. And the BBC in the UK has claimed that one of its reporters has been physically manhandled and arrested when he was trying to film footage of the protests. So I mentioned earlier in the video that the current situation represents a trilemma for the Chinese authorities. And a trilemma is an economics term that relates to a situation when a decision needs to be made between three different options, usually that are mutually exclusive. So you can't pick all three, you have to pick one in favour of the other two. And the trilemma facing the Chinese authorities right now is, do they deal with the health problem, do they deal with the economic problem, or do they deal with the political problem? They are the three choices that the Chinese authorities are facing. And if we go through those one by one now, the health problem is COVID. Unlike the rest of the world, China is still taking an absolute zero tolerance approach to COVID. So when a case of COVID is identified, it puts that area, that district, that city into lockdown until there are zero cases again. And this is really at the heart of why all of these protests have sprung up. Because in Urumqi, the people have been in lockdown for more than 100 days. And this isn't the first time that they've been in lockdown. COVID first appeared in China at the back end of 2019. So that's 3 years ago. And China have been operating a zero tolerance policy ever since. So over the course of the last 3 years, the people in China have been constantly moved in and out of lockdown. And the people of China are now getting to breaking point. They don't want to continue with this policy. But the Chinese authorities, despite the fact that they officially relaxed some of the restrictions recently, are still following this zero tolerance policy. So that means that for the foreseeable future, everybody in China has this threat of lockdown hanging over them. So even when the lockdown is released, they could easily go straight back in if cases are identified. And we'll have a look at the number of cases in a minute. In terms of the economic situation, China, alongside the rest of the world, is heading towards a slowdown. The forecasts for this year have been reduced dramatically. And in order to try to boost the economy, the Chinese authorities need to increase employment. They need to get everything operating at full steam ahead. But the problem you've got is that if you're locking everybody down and closing factories down, that's reducing productivity. So the COVID lockdowns are having a direct negative impact on the economy. So this is part of the trilemma that I'm talking about. The Chinese authorities need to decide, are they going for the health issue or are they going for the economic issue? And the third factor is the political issue, because the COVID lockdowns are very unpopular, and so is the slowdown in economics because unemployment is rising, real wages are falling. So therefore, that then seeps into the political arena, because if you're unhappy because you're locked down and you're not earning enough or you can't find a job, then obviously that's going to force you against the politics of the country. You're going to want to see some change. So this is the trilemma that's facing the Chinese authorities, and it's a really difficult puzzle to solve because there's no quick or easy solution from their side. So as I just mentioned, China is continuing to take this zero tolerance approach. And one of the problems that China has is that the vaccination rates amongst the elderly are relatively low because they don't want to have the vaccination. And so if there is a major outbreak of COVID across the country, it could result in a high number of deaths because the elderly are the most vulnerable category. And if they're not vaccinated, then obviously they're most at risk of dying. And China has a population of over 1.4 billion people. And one of the problems with the zero tolerance approach that it's taken over the last 3 years is that there's no concept of herd immunity. There hasn't been a spread of COVID. People haven't been catching it on a widespread basis, unlike other countries around the world where there have been lots and lots of cases. So that means that people haven't built up a natural immunity. So if you don't have the vaccination, then you're going to be at risk. And this graph shows the daily number of reported COVID cases in October and November in China. And as you can see, back at the start of October, there were virtually no cases. However, there has been a huge spike over the course of the last 3 weeks. And as of the 27th of November, 40,000 new cases were reported. And this is one of the reasons why the Chinese authorities are so concerned right now and why they're enforcing all of the lockdowns, because they don't want to see a mass outbreak of COVID for the first time in China, which could potentially have a devastating impact in terms of the number of deaths. Now, as I mentioned, one of the major concerns for China right now is the slowdown in the economy. China has been growing at a rapid rate over the course of the last 10 years and was expected to continue growing rapidly. However, because of what's happening globally and also all of the lockdowns caused by COVID-19, China's economy has now started to slow down. This graph shows the growth in GDP in China dating back to 1980 and also includes growth forecasts provided by the IMF out to 2027. And what this graph shows is that between 1980 and 2010, China achieved double-digit growth in GDP in the vast majority of years, apart from when there was a global recession. So you can see that in the early 80s, GDP dropped to 5.1%. In the late 1980s, it dropped to 4.2% and 3.1%. In the late 1990s, it dropped to 7.7%. And it dropped to 9.4% during the global financial crisis in 2008. So over that 30-year period, China saw significant growth in its GDP. And even during times of global recession, it was still seeing significant growth of 4 or 5%. However, if you look at the graph since 2010, you can see that there's been a worrying drop in GDP growth. GDP increased by 10.6% in 2010. It then fell to 9.6%, 7.8% for the next 2 years, 7.4%, 7%, 6.9% for 2 years, 6.8%, 6%. It dropped to 2.4% in 2020 during the global COVID lockdowns. It bounced back to 8.1% in 2021. However, the latest forecast for 2022 has been revised down to 3.2%. So this will be the lowest year of growth that China has seen in any year, excluding the global pandemic of 2020. And the IMF forecasts for the next few years are 4.4% for 2023, 4.5% for 2024, and 4.6% for 2025, 26, and 27. So these rates are significantly lower than the historic rates that China have been achieving. And this is causing major problems for the Chinese economy, because the economy is based on the concept of constant growth, of constantly expanding, increasing its manufacturing capabilities, of making more revenue. So although China is forecast to continue growing, a slowdown of this nature has the same sort of impacts as a recession in a developed economy, because China is expecting constant growth, and if it doesn't achieve it, then it's going to experience problems. This chart shows the movement in unemployment rates over the course of the last 4 years, and these are shown in the red sections of this graph. And the scale that we're looking at here is on the right-hand side and is measured as a percentage of the total population. So you can see that back in 2018, unemployment was running at around 5%. However, over the course of the next 3 years, unemployment rates rose significantly and hit a peak of 5.9% in 2020. Now, the main drivers in 2019 and 2020 for the increases in unemployment were the COVID lockdowns. And as China started to manage its way out of that situation during 2020, unemployment did drop back down to below 5%. However, unemployment started to rise dramatically as the lockdowns were reintroduced. Now, it did drop briefly at the beginning of 2022. However, the global slowdown that we're seeing now is starting to have a real impact on China. And unemployment rates are now rising as a result of both the global slowdown and the continued lockdowns. So this is a double whammy on China, and is one of the reasons why the people of China are unhappy and are now starting to protest. Now, the other section of this graph, shown in blue, shows people's expectation of higher income. So basically is showing whether or not they believe that they're going to be given a pay rise. And you can see that the blue section of this chart has been coming down significantly since the start of 2018. And this indicates that the workers of China are now concerned that their real income, so the amount of money they're taking home after taking into account inflation, is falling. And again, this is causing discontent amongst the workers of China, because they're seeing unemployment rising and their expectations on income are falling. Now, as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, because I've said it a million times before, the whole world is interconnected. So if we're seeing a slowdown in China's economy, it's definitely going to have a knock-on impact to the rest of the world, particularly because China is such a big manufacturing country. It produces goods that are sold all around the world. So if China is slowing down, it's a little bit circular. Part of it will be because demand is falling globally, and part of it will be because they've got problems in the country. But it will have a knock-on impact to everybody else's GDP and will accelerate a potential global recession. And this chart shows the IMF's latest GDP forecasts for 2022 and 2023. So if we start with China, you can see that in 2021, China achieved 8.1% GDP growth. The latest forecast for 2022 is that that will have fallen to 3.2%. So that's less than half of what China achieved last year. And in 2023, it is expected to recover to 4.4%. But as I showed you earlier, that is very low compared to the historic rates that China has been achieving. And this table clearly shows that the rest of the world is also going to suffer. The advanced economies, which is shown in the dark blue line across the top here, in 2021 achieved growth of 5.2%. The latest forecast for 22 is 2.4%, so that's less than half of what was achieved. And in 2023, it's expected to slow down further to 1.1%. And if we look at the specifics for the USA, you can see that GDP growth in 21 was 5.7%. It's expected to drop to 1.6% in 2022 and to drop further to 1% in 2023. The situation for the euro area is slightly better, 5.2% achieved in 21, expected to drop to 3.1% in 22 and then 0.5% in 23. And the UK, which is no longer included in the euro area after Brexit, achieved 7.4% GDP growth in 21. That's expected to fall to 3.6% in 22 and 0.3% in 23. And the reason I wanted to show you this chart was really to highlight the fact that what happens in China is definitely linked to what's going on in the rest of the world. When China's doing well, the rest of the globe will be doing well. If China's doing badly, then the rest of the globe will probably be doing badly as well. And that's exactly what you can see from these figures. And I wanted to just touch on what's going on with regards to the oil price, because we've been talking about the oil price a lot on the channel. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw a huge increase in oil prices. That's what you can see in the first half of this graph. However, since June of 22, we've seen a marked reduction in oil prices. And at first glance, that really doesn't make any sense because the war in Ukraine is still going on. So you would have expected that prices should have stayed high. But the reason that prices have started to come down is because we're seeing a global slowdown. The GDP figures that we just looked at indicate that everybody is now contracting compared to where they thought they were going to be. So that means there's less productivity, there's less output, there's less demand, and therefore there's less demand for oil. And the price of oil is based entirely on supply and demand. Now, we do have some supply issues right now because a lot of Europe is moving away from buying Russian oil. It's having to therefore buy oil from other countries. So there's a lot of changes going on in terms of the supply chain. But in terms of the general fundamental, the globe is slowing down. Therefore, overall, there is less demand for oil. So demand is falling. And when we see falling demand, we generally get a fall in price. And that's exactly what's happened over the last few months. And the fall in oil prices is now starting to pick up pace. It's now dropped below $80 per barrel and is at a price that we haven't seen for around 12 months. So normally this would be good news. You'd be thinking, great, the price of oil has fallen. It's going to cost me less to be able to fill up at the pumps. But the problem we've got is that a global recession is not good for anyone. The reason that that oil price is down is that everybody's now looking very negatively about the future. So it's likely that oil prices could continue to fall unless OPEC make a decision to stop the supply to push prices right back up again. As you'll know if you follow the channel, they recently announced that they were going to cut their production by 2 million barrels per day to try to reduce the amount of supply and therefore push prices back up. That hasn't had a material impact yet, but it will be interesting to see what OPEC's response to the current movements in prices is. But the overall summary from this chart is that the global slowdown, which is partly being fueled by what's happening in China, is now bringing back down the price of oil. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because what's going on in China has an impact on everybody. As we've just discussed, the whole world is interrelated. And China is facing some major problems right now. If you've been following the channel for the last year or so, you'll know that we've been talking about what's been happening in the property sector in China. And property equates to somewhere between 25 and 30% of GDP. It's moving around because obviously as the sector shrinks, it starts to become a smaller percentage of GDP. But they've got major problems because of the Chinese property developers, firstly, who were over-leveraged and got themselves into a position where they ran out of cash, they couldn't complete all those builds, and so the whole sector went into meltdown. The bigger problem that they've got now in China is that a lot of the consumers have lost confidence in property because they're seeing prices coming down, they're seeing these unfinished apartment buildings, and they're hearing stories about people who've put down 100% deposits not being given their properties. So everybody in China is now holding off in terms of buying property. It's no longer the feeding frenzy that it used to be. And of course, that's making things worse because the developers are finding it difficult to actually make sales when they are actually completing apartments. So the property sector is in a world of pain right now. But unfortunately, the rest of the Chinese economy seems to be following suit. Because of the lockdowns that are now being enforced everywhere in China, recently it was reported that up to 300 million people were in some form of lockdown. 300 million people is almost the population of the USA. So you can imagine the problems that that's causing for the economy because those people aren't allowed to leave their apartments, they can't go to work, therefore those factories can't produce anything, and that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this massive fall in GDP. And if you've been following the channel, you know we recently reported that Apple, which has one of the biggest factories in the world in China, it employs 200,000 people in one factory. 200,000 people are all going to work every single day. And that factory was suffering major problems because the lockdowns were imposed in that area and Apple had to issue a profits warning and say that it's unlikely that they'll be able to produce as many iPhones as they wanted to originally. So if you're looking to buy an iPhone for Christmas, get out there early because you may find that there's none on the shelves by the time you get to the last couple of weeks of December. So the COVID lockdowns are causing problems to the economy on top of the problems that were already in place because of what was happening to property. And what we're seeing now is some discontent amongst the people of China. They're coming out to complain about the lockdowns, but they're also complaining about what's going on with regards to the economy. And of course, that's then having an impact in terms of their views of the politics of the country. So this is getting into a really serious situation. And it will be really interesting to see how these protests are managed, how the authorities deal with them. Because the eyes of the world are on China right now. But the biggest problem facing the Chinese authorities right now is the trilemma that we talked through earlier. Do they decide to focus on health? Do they decide to focus on the economy? Or do they decide to focus on politics? Because it's difficult to be able to tick all three of those boxes simultaneously. Obviously, they'd want a magic wand to be able to fix all of the problems, get rid of COVID, bring back the economy and everybody would be happy and we could move forward. But for the next 3 to 6 months, that isn't going to be happening. COVID cases are rising rapidly and the Chinese authorities have stated on many occasions that they will continue with their zero tolerance policy. So they painted themselves into a corner on that front. If they do that, that will have a negative impact on the economy and that will have a negative impact on people's employment and earnings, which will have a negative impact on their morale and therefore they're more likely to protest against what's going on. So this is a bit of a vicious circle right now and is a really difficult conundrum to be able to fix. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks. And of course, I'll keep you posted as soon as there's any further news or developments. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode. You found it interesting, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thanks very much for watching this video all the way through to the end.